It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. With warmer weather in our sights, Wisconsin is coming up on tick season.
The tick population has been growing in Wisconsin, and so are cases of Lyme disease and other tick-borne infectious diseases like Alpha-Gal syndrome, which triggers allergic reactions to red meat and dairy.
Later, we'll hear from a researcher in central Wisconsin who oversees a citizen science project to collect tick samples and stories from all over the state.
First, a look at why Wisconsin is seeing this uptick in ticks and how it's impacting public health. Rebecca Osborne is a vector-borne disease epidemiologist at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Rebecca, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
You told Rebecca WPR last year that the tick population was booming in the state and said that, in effect, lately every year is a bad year. Still early going for 2026. What are we seeing so far?
Yeah, we're seeing some beginnings of the signal that tick season has begun. The warmer weather is certainly bringing the ticks back to their normal activity. It's still early, so certainly ticks are going to be more on the rare side for now, but they are out. Our entomologist, Zia Lee, who works with DHS and goes out into the field and collects ticks, has already found some this year. We're seeing an increase in tick bite associated hospital visits as well, just sort of that beginning of the uptick, which we would expect with this sort of warmer spring weather coming in. So it's definitely begun. Not at its peak yet, which will happen later in the year, but definitely time to start thinking about ticks again.
We're concerned, I know, about a couple different kinds of ticks around the United States these days. What are we seeing in Wisconsin as far as our tick species?
Yeah, so we pretty much have two primary tick species that are common and often bite people and pets. The first one is the black-legged tick, or often called the deer tick. This is the tick that primarily causes all tick-borne illnesses in Wisconsin. It carries and spreads Lyme disease, anaplasmosis, babesiosis, and several other infections. So this is the main one that people need to be worried about. You can find lots of images of this tick on both our website and CDC's website, as well as our partners at UW-Madison. They're a little bit smaller than some other ticks you might encounter. For example, the other common tick is called the American dog tick, or also the wood tick. Those are the same. And they are larger, kind of different coloration, and they are common in sort of spring and early summer. But they commonly bite people and dogs and other pets, but they are not known to spread illnesses or any germs in Wisconsin. So they do still bite you, which is, you know, unpleasant, but they are typically very, very low risk for any type of infection. There is a very rare species of tick that can sometimes be encountered in Wisconsin, the Lone Star tick. This is one that typically doesn't live in Wisconsin year round. It can be sort of introduced by migratory birds and other travel. We don't see it establishing itself in Wisconsin yet, but we're certainly monitoring its population. This tick is the one that can spread other types of illnesses like ehrlichiosis and is associated with the red meat allergy, or also called Alpha-Gal syndrome. So that one is very uncommon, but we do hear of reports of it sometimes being encountered in our state.
You mentioned Lyme disease, and I think that's what most people are going to think of when you talk about tick-borne illness. What are we seeing in Wisconsin when it comes to Lyme disease trends?
Unfortunately, it's still increasing. Some of that can be explained by the way we monitor disease cases, but a lot of it can also be explained by just an increase in infections. A lot of this is driven by our longer warm seasons in the state. So because we're having these shorter and shorter winters where temperatures are a little bit warmer later in the fall and earlier in the spring, that just means that there's more months of the year in Wisconsin now where ticks are active. So ticks in our state, regardless of the species, really become active anytime temperatures are consistently above 40 degrees Fahrenheit. They can become active above freezing, but typically you'll see their activity increase over 40. So really any time of the year that temperatures are above 40, especially if we have no snow, then ticks will become active. And that just means more opportunity for them to bite people, more opportunities to spread infections. So we're seeing increases in Lyme disease as well as other tick-borne diseases.
All right, Rebecca, here's something that's been baffling me for, a quarter century now. looking back at the early days of Lyme disease, looking at a map as I am right now, incidents, East Coast of the United States, Northeastern U.S., that's where it is, and Wisconsin. And that's held true whatever time period of map I'm looking at. What is it about Wisconsin that makes us this island of Lyme disease outside of the main incidence area out east?
Yeah, that's a great question, right? The distribution is a little bit unusual, like you said, in the Northeast and the upper Midwest. Wisconsin, as far as we know, actually had the very first case of Lyme disease. It was reported sort of at the time when Lyme disease itself hadn't really been described, but it was detected in a Wisconsin resident by a dermatologist who sort of retrospectively then decided, hey, this was probably Lyme disease. It was someone who had that typical bullseye rash. This was in the late 60s. So probably Lyme disease has been in the Wisconsin tick population for a very, very long time. The tick population has kind of gone up and down with a lot of different changes in the environment and our wildlife populations. So we don't have a lot of really old records, right, of Lyme disease before that. But we just have this habitat where the black-legged or the deer tick is very prevalent. We have the wildlife species that maintain the bacteria that causes Lyme disease. This is Borrelia burgdorferi, that are common in our state. Typically, those mammals that carry Lyme disease and spread it to the ticks are things like white-footed mice. And we have all those ingredients that make sort of this cycle of Lyme being spread between ticks and mammals and then spill over into humans. There's not a lot to say sort of why it evolved there in the first place, but we have all the right ingredients as well as the Northeast, as well as parts of Minnesota and now parts of Michigan. So we're just happen to be in that hotbed, unfortunately.
Now, a Lyme disease vaccine may be in the works. Pfizer announced last week they're seeking regulatory approval. There have been other efforts to develop a vaccine, but I think this would be the only one currently on the market if it's approved. How big a deal is that, a potential for at least a fairly effective Lyme vaccine?
Yeah, I think it's very encouraging news. Certainly, we're watching it closely, and these phase three trial results that were published last week were certainly of interest to our team as well. There's still sort of a lot of steps that need to be done right before it can actually be available to people, but it looks relatively effective as far as I can tell, and it's a very exciting development in terms of prevention. You know, this has the potential to really interrupt a lot of people from getting Lyme disease and to start to slow the number of infections that we see in the state. Now, of course, this has a lot to do with if and when people are willing to get this vaccine. So there's a lot still more to come and more to learn about when it's available and how effective it is. But we're certainly encouraged and hopeful that it can move the needle on some of these infections for sure. It's one thing to note that the Lyme disease vaccine, if and when it is available, which should be hopefully in the next 12 months or so, would not protect against infection with other tick-borne illnesses. So it's only effective against the bacteria that causes Lyme disease.
Well, then that takes me to a real practical question, Rebecca. We're cleaning up brush in our yard. We're hiking in a prairie or forest. How do we not get ticks on us?
Right? That's the goal. Yeah, we always recommend a layered approach, right? As many of these recommendations to prevent bites as possible. A few of our favorites and ones we always recommend are a good bug repellent or insect repellent. I recommend DEET or Picaridin are kind of my favorites. There's a few others that are approved by the EPA as in terms of being both safe and effective at preventing ticks. A lot of them also prevent mosquito bites as well, so that's great. There's also permethrin, which is a repellent and a caricide, so it kills the ticks on contact. That's one that you spray on your clothing. Probably a lot of listeners have heard of it. I'm not sure how many people have used it, but it's a really great product if you don't want to deal with anything on your skin directly. Just spray it on your clothing or gear. It does take a little planning, you know, a day in advance or so before use. Otherwise, do your tick checks, right? So if you've been in brush or the woods or really anywhere outdoors where you think you could have encountered a tick, do your tick checks, do them routinely. Take a shower within 2 hours of coming out, you know, from inside from being outdoors. That can just help you spot those ticks and wash any off that are crawling around. I also find ticks a lot on my pets personally, even if they're on a preventative. The ticks might just come into my home from my animals because they might be crawling around on them for a little while before they bite them. My animals are on preventatives, but sometimes those preventatives, the bites the ticks have to bite them first before they begin to work. So check your pets, your dogs, your cats, anything else that might be indoor, outdoor, and could introduce ticks into your home. So as many of those as you can is what I recommend starting this time of year and going probably through the fall.
Rebecca, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Rebecca Osborne is a vector-borne disease epidemiologist at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. We've been talking with her about Wisconsin's tick population and the rise in cases of Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses around the state. Now, the Marshfield Clinic just kicked off the third year of a project called Tick Inventory via Citizen Science, or TICS for short. People around the state are invited to send in tick samples and stories to use for research. Alexandra Lintz is a staff scientist at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute, where she studies infectious diseases endemic to Wisconsin. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right, this is the third year of this tick inventory via citizen science, or TICS, project that you're doing at Marshfield. What are you asking the public to do to help out?
Yeah, we're asking people to send us ticks. So this could be a tick that you find on yourself or your pet or your gear. It can be dead or alive. We just ask that you send it to our research lab here at the Marshfield Clinic Research Institute, and we'll identify its species and map where we're finding ticks all across the upper Midwest.
What kind of response have you gotten from people in the first couple of years?
We have gotten a fantastic response. We've received almost 12,000 ticks in our first two years. Yeah.
I mean, that's good news, bad news, I guess. Good news, people are participating and helping out. Bad news, there's a lot of ticks out there.
There are a lot of ticks out there, and it seems like everybody's encountered them. Everybody has a tick story, and we're very grateful that people are willing to share those ticks with us.
And when they do share those ticks with you, what are you then doing with them? What purpose are these citizen science efforts going toward ultimately?
Yeah, so we're trying to figure out where and when people are at risk of contracting a tick-borne disease. So we identify the species of tick it is, as well as what life stage it is, whether it's an adult, larvae, or nymph. And then we ask people to tell us where they think they found this tick, where they acquired it. And we put those on a map so we can see where and when we're getting tick submissions.
Are you able to actually test to see, hey, does this tick carry Lyme disease?
We can do that test. We just about have it up and running. It's not something that we can report back. We're not a clinical lab and we can't do diagnostic tests. But that is something we're working on, is trying to test them for diseases as well.
So what have you learned about tick hotspots in the state and the kinds of ticks? As we just heard, there are a few different varieties from Rebecca. What have you learned so far from people sending in their ticks?
Yeah, so one thing we've noticed is that we tend to get larger ticks from citizen science submissions than what you would find if you were out collecting ticks from the environment. That means we tend to see more dog ticks than deer ticks, and we tend to see more adults than the other life stages. So we think people are just more likely to notice and find a larger tick, which really emphasizes the importance of those tick checks. Some of these ticks, especially the deer ticks that carry disease in their younger life stages, can be so tiny and hard to find.
Now, Rebecca mentioned these Lone Star ticks carrying this alpha-gal, a weird meat allergy disease. Is this something, have you seen any of these popping up in the mail?
Yes, we have. We have gotten a few submissions of adult Lone Star ticks from Wisconsin. It's not enough to say that they've established in Wisconsin yet. As Rebecca mentioned, they can travel on migratory birds, so we sometimes see them outside of their expected range. But it's definitely something we're keeping an eye on. And it's really only because we received 12,000 ticks in the mail that we were able to identify these few Lone Stars.
Now, we've got, as we mentioned, Pfizer working on a Lyme disease vaccine for humans, a 70% efficacy rate in the trial so far. Your thoughts on this, at least potential for a Lyme vaccine to come onto the market in the next year or two?
Yeah, I think it's great to have another tool in our toolbox. I don't think it's going to replace all of the tick prevention measures that we already do, but I think it can definitely be helpful and help bring people peace of mind when going out in tick habitat.
Now, Lyme, of course, is the big worry in Wisconsin. The Lone Star tick we were just talking about carries that alpha-gal syndrome, a weird symptoms, people suddenly allergic to red meat, in some cases even dairy products. Is that something you have your eye on here in the state? I know so far this is mostly a other places story, this particular disease.
Yeah, it's definitely something we're keeping an eye on. The Lone Star tick is not that far south of us, so it's definitely a species of concern. It's something we're watching for the tick itself, watching for those alpha gal cases, and definitely something we should be keeping an eye on.
Are there other tick-borne illnesses that you have your eye on there?
Yeah, we are also looking at babesiosis, anaplasmosis, and ehrlichiosis, as well as Powassan virus, which is a very rare one, but can be very serious.
What is that? What are the symptoms of Powassan virus? That's one I'm less familiar with.
Yeah, Powassan virus, it can cause kind of flu-like symptoms like other ones, but also a viral encephalitis, so swelling in the brain. And that can be very dangerous and require hospitalization.
Now, you've been getting ticks from people, and I think there's stories. There's a new part of your citizen science program, I understand, called Tick Lens, getting people's stories of tick-borne illnesses. What are you hoping that people in the public can share with you?
Yeah, so Tick Lens is our new study this year. We've sent out a lot of surveys. Our tick collection kits have a couple surveys included in there. But there's only so much we can learn from a multiple choice question. So we're hoping that people will send us longer, more open format responses about how ticks and their diseases have impacted their lives. What was their experience seeking medical care for a tick-borne disease? And we're really looking to listen and learn from people's experiences.
Now, if people are out there listening and they haven't gotten a survey or anything like that, can they just go to your website or and say, hey, yes, I found a tick. How do I send it to you? Or I do have a tick-borne illness story to share. How can people participate?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can email us at ticks, T-I-C-S, at marshfieldclinic.org, and we'll get you set up with what you need.
Now, as we enter into tick season, as we've heard, we're already seeing some this year. What are some of the things that you as a scientist and researcher are watching for when it comes to ticks and the illnesses they carry in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so we've done 2 years of this study so far, and we definitely saw some seasonal trends over the first 2 years, and we're looking to see, are there any changes in the third year? One thing we noticed in our first 2 years of sampling was that there was a second peak of deer tick activity in the fall. So just those deer ticks would reappear in sort of October, November, right around hunting seasons. So it's definitely something to watch out for. Tick season is not just early spring and summer. We've seen it in the fall as well. And we want to see if that trend continues. How big is that fall peak of deer ticks?
Alex, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Alexandra Lins, research scientist at Marshfield Clinic, who oversees a tick surveillance project called Tick Inventory via Citizen Science. Earlier, we heard from Rebecca Osborne, an epidemiologist with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, been talking about Wisconsin's growing tick population and the rise in tick-borne illnesses around the state, after Pfizer announced last week that it's seeking approval for a new Lyme disease vaccine for humans that had a 70% efficacy rate in trials.